Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 436 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockhart.
Hey, what's good?
And Colton, Blue Basket Sweat.
Howdy, y'all.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah. Wish I could just kind of redo that. You know?
I don't know. I feel like that's what you always want from me, Nick, and I finally did it.
Well, I want your real Texas accent, not like your fake one.
I don't have one. I mean, you do. Same.
You live in Texas.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Where do Texas accents come from?
People who were born Texas. and raised in Texas.
From Texas. Thank you.
Where is he now?
He's in Texas right now. Yeah.
I don't leave my apartment, Nick.
So kind of like if you combine one and one, you
it just
expect
makes sense
to get
that
two.
Him being a guy from Texas would have a Texas accent from that people from Texas have.
Yeah.
That's reasonable. The thing is though that I talk to people in TeamSpeak that are all from Illinois way more than I talk to anybody else.
They all have Illinois accents though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm surprised you guys understand one another. TeamSpeak must have like some translator. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, TeamSpeak has a regional dialect translator.
I don't mean to cut you off before we go into stuff, but just about translator, Sea of Thieves added this option. The fucking most random option I've ever seen in a game that you can turn on that, like, so people can hot mic in game, right? You can, like, talk in game and you can hear other people. There's an option that auto-translate other languages into, like, English.
Wait, for microphone?
Yeah.
You said that's fucking dope.
I've only seen it happen once, right? But like I went up to these, I'm not sure it was some sort of Asian language, not sure what type of language, right? But it's just like a bunch of stuff I don't hear. And then it translates and it goes, oh my fucking God, we're sinking. Or something
wait,
like that.
Okay, wait.
Please help me repair.
What the fuck?
Dude, that's the only time
I've heard it. That's the dopest shit. Could you imagine traveling countries? Obviously, there are apps for this. But you just log in to Sea of Thieves and have them talking to you.
Here, let me boot up Sea of Thieves so we can have a conversation.
Like, they obviously didn't develop themselves, but they obviously like got the rights to using someone else's like software to do that. But it's such a random-ass option for a game like that just to have.
Yeah, that's crazy. Huh. Okay, interesting. Hey, on this week, we've got a tiny little bit of LeagueCast news. We have a new patch, some Little Legends drama, I guess rising news in general is what I'll call it. We've got new old champions hosted by Aiden once more. That's pretty exciting. We could talk briefly about the LCS. We have a roundtable question and your answers from last week, and then we have several emails that we're gonna work our way through this week. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. Not a lot of League, not a lot of anything really. I've just been I played a lot of Pokemon. The DLC for that came out today. Came out last week, and I've been having a lot of fun with that. Kennedy and I have been playing it, and then. Pokemon announced that they're making a MOBA today.
Yeah, so does that look like the what was the
it looks like Dominion, the League like old game mode, I find.
It reminds me of that like battle arena, battle something, that people played like 8 years ago that had like SpongeBob in
oh,
it.
Oh the yeah. I know what you mean. It looks
or like Adventure Time characters.
Yeah, yeah. But the gameplay looks very similar to like Dominion, so I don't know. Pokemon fans get upset about everything. They're like, I want just another remake. I want to play an old game again. And if it's not that, I'm gonna throw a fit.
Reskinned the same game.
Yeah. So it's not like I'm excited for a MOBA. I mean I'll probably like try it. It's for like mobile and Switch, so I don't know, I'll probably like just try it just because I mean I'm pretty all right at MOBAs, but it's not like I'm excited, but I'm also not like mad that they're making stuff. Other than that, I honestly didn't do too much this week, just had like a bit of a busy week of stuff. So what about you, Colton?
My week was sorry, it had a little pop-up coming up that I had to deal with. But yeah, my week was pretty good. Been enjoying the good old Texas heat. Been working as usual, playing a little bit of League. Been playing some more Valorant, and after playing Valorant, also a little bit more CSGO, which I haven't played in a while, but just, to me, feels a lot better as a shooter.
Can we stop there for 1 second? Colton?
Yeah.
Our friends are... So the game... Valorant's not perfect, okay? I'll admit, right?
Yeah.
But our friends are bad at the game, and they're bad at adapting to stuff. So they make it worse.
Yes.
Right? Can we both agree with
that? The amount of times I heard you guys do the same exact thing round after round and the same result happened last night was insane.
All I'm saying
that was frustrating me at that point on that team. Like there are a lot of legitimate issues I have with Valorant. But like when we were playing as a full five, like people were complaining about like the enemy has better aim than me. I keep peeking a bad angle. Like I'm using my abilities at the wrong time. Like none of those are problems with the game, you know. And it's frustrating to play against someone who's just like continually one tapping you. Like that's not fun. But when the core game mechanics. Yeah, when the core game mechanics are things that, like, I think there are a lot of problems with, that can be frustrating. It's like, when I went and played a game of, like, CSGO competitive, I was just like, oh, wow, this just feels so much better. Like, the map design feels cleaner. The movement doesn't feel like you're running through fucking mud the entire game.
Can we also say, though, that they are, like, doing a really good job of constantly improving on that? So, like, I think the biggest problem with Valorant right now is map design. I think you can agree with that. Like, there's just, like, a lot of shit that... I mean, so they have to design the game in a certain way because, like, there's characters with abilities and shit like that. But one thing that they did today in today's patch of Valorant is they took out almost every single 50-50 angle. Like, where you push through a door and you have to check both sides. They made it, like... almost every single one of those angles on every single map, they made it so there's something in one of the corners so that you only... really have to check one side now, which I think is super good. Like, gotcha. Shit like that, like, just should have been in the game already, right? You shouldn't just have to 50-50 when you, like, peek an angle.
Yeah, and to be honest, I haven't played a lot of Valorant, so I haven't seen, like, time-wise, them adapting or changing anything, really. Right, I've played on, I think, one, maybe two patches of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to see where they go with it. I think, for me, one of the biggest issues I have with the game, aside from map design, and well, I guess this is still map design, is that there are some characters with movement abilities, there are some characters without, and a lot of pathways are only accessible through movement abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really frustrating, especially when they're not distinctly made to look that way, right? Like, if there's a huge gap, it's like, okay, I could only do that if I had, like, a boost or a jetpack or something. But then there are other things where it's just like, oh, I can't get up on this box because it's too tall for my jump. So I have to use a movement ability to jump up on this, like, 5-foot-tall box to get a good angle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can't jump crouch like you would be able to in Counter-Strike or most games, like... That's upsetting, but I'm not going to just sit here and bitch about Valorant. But I agree with you that a lot of the complaints you guys are hearing, especially last night, were about how they were individually playing the game.
Yeah.
And not about the game itself.
There were some legitimate gripes, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not all bad. It's just, again, it gets mixed in with the regular flame of, like, fuck this guy, he keeps one-shotting me every time.
Yeah, and then stuff like, he went up there. It's like, there is sound cues for, like, everything. It's just, like, once again, if you don't know the sound cues, it's like all about learning, right? And I just think some of our friends might be a little bit less open to learning, which is all right, though. I still enjoy playing with them. I'm never going to flame them, like, when we play. I just, like, I'm just having fun.
Oh, I'm always going to flame them just with my microphone. Just
it is funny, though, Colton. That was, like, your third game ever, and you, like, we're second frag on, like, second, like, after me for top frag.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I have a decent amount of experience in just shooters in general, so my gunplay was fine, and I was mainly just ignoring my character's abilities, which is why I play Sova. Is literally, like, I can use my E to free peek a corner every couple seconds, and then I'm just playing a shooter.
Yeah.
Like... I like almost never use his ulti other than just to, like, try and luck out and hit somebody through a wall. I don't know, like, I think that the abilities are very diverse in what they can do, but some of them it's just like you're just playing a shooter character with like a little bit extra utility.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, played some ranked games. Some games went well, some games did not. Volibear is pretty dumb strong. I finally played a game of him, and it, like, I did not feel tanky, but I felt like I just, like, bodied people around.
He doesn't have a single losing matchup in the jungle.
Yeah.
But that being said, I thought there was a really good post. I was actually talking to Trevor, like, the night before this post came out on Reddit, where he's obviously, like, a little bit overtuned the fact that he demos most top lanes, and he doesn't have a single losing jungle, like, win rate matchup. But I don't feel bad. Like, laning against him is, like, a little bit rough. But outside of that, I'm never like, oh, fucking Volibear, overtuned, fucking winning the game 1v5. Like, I feel like he is just a very average character, like, despite obviously being very strong. Like, I'm not disgusted by him.
And I think that mainly comes to the fact of, like, he's got relatively long cooldowns and not a ton of AoE. Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, he can gank and he'll kill you, and, like, if it's a 2v2, they'll win the fight. But, like, he can't really run in 1v5 because he's just going to get burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whereas, you know, if you're a crazy Fed Garen or, like, a Katarina or a Kassadin, like, you can actually win, like, a 1v4 fight.
Yeah.
Whereas Volibear, like, you're just going to sit there trying to auto-attack them as they kill you.
I think his kit doesn't feel very overloaded, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything seems pretty fair. I think maybe his E damage is a little high.
So fucking high.
But, like, but otherwise, like, just some number changes, I think, will bring him in line pretty well.
Yeah, I could easily put, like, 20 characters above him for characters that I'd, like, rather ban over him, despite him being obviously very strong. Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them tune his ultimate a little bit differently. Like, I feel like the casting animation is just so long. Mm-hmm. That, like, you don't want to use the ultimate in a fight.
We had
at least that's how I felt.
We played against an AP Volibear on a Smurf account, like, a couple nights ago. And he would just fucking dive bomb our team with his ult. It was so fucking good, dude.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
But, yeah, so that was my week for the most part. Moving is basically all done. I've still got a couple things coming. I got some bar stools on the way, so that'll be fun. Yeah, that's my week. Nick, what have you been up to? Nobody cares.
I mean, that's probably true. Not a ton. I went with my girlfriend to, she bought a new car last Thursday. Ooh. So that was pretty exciting.
What'd you get?
She got a Honda Civic. New Honda Civic. Pretty exciting. It's very nice. One of the coolest things that, like, is kind of lame, it doesn't have a gas cap. The gas cap is attached to the little, like, thing that you open.
Ooh.
Little door that you open. Which is just a simple change that, like, why didn't no one incorporate this, you know, 37 years ago?
Because it costs a lot to manufacture it compared to adding a screw-on a bolt thing.
That's probably true.
Yeah. That's probably. Mine doesn't even have a gas cap. It's just got, like, the little door. And then I think there's, like, an internal panel that it, like, pushes away when you actually put a gas nozzle in.
Oh.
That's cool.
Dang, nice. Mine just doesn't have the door.
My car just doesn't work.
No. Yeah. Otherwise, I started Path of Exile. Been enjoying that. Been playing some more Gunfire Reborn. That's basically it. Let's get into the podcast. We have 4 new patrons this week. Thank you to Lewis, Ntate01, Lo-Fi, Lofi, and Joshua. Another Joshua added to the list.
Yeah.
Cool. We have our Patreon show that went live on YouTube last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, on the 21st, yeah.
Yeah. And we are actually recording our next patron show about the F characters tonight after the podcast. So if you are interested in learning about what Fiora Fizz Fiddlesticks.
There's one more for sure, but yeah.
Which one did you get? Fiora, Fiddlesticks, Fizz.
Is there only three? There might only be three.
I think there's only three.
No, there's one more.
I feel like there's one more as well, but there might be only three.
I feel like regardless of how many we name, it's always going to feel like there's one more.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, Phallister.
Oh, yes, yes, Phallister. That's gross. No, it's just Fiddles, Fiora, and Fizz.
Oh, Pog. Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be recording that afterwards. Into the Rising news, we have a new patch 10.13.
Very boring patch.
I always get this wrong. Went live tonight?
Today.
Last night?
This morning.
Last night for today. Yeah. So it's live. Cool. First up is Aphelios. He received some nerfs. His base attack damage growth has been decreased. His Q Chakram reset is removed for epic monsters. The turret range indicators are no longer visible in Spectator, and the ultimate follow up attack critical damage has been decreased.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I personally don't think he needs nerfs, but I don't think nerfing him is a bad call because I think he's very hard to play against. Meaning, the only way really to beat him in lane is pick something that like goes hard, like a Lucian Leona lane, or play like a Draven, or play a mage. But if you can't play a mage bottom, he's probably going to win bottom, which, like, I was talking to Trevor a bunch about this, where, like, I'm playing on my, like, high-rank Smurf, which is, like, plat 3 MMR sort of thing, plat 2 MMR, something like that, and I've been playing top lane, and I only own old characters, so I've been playing, like, Cho'Gaths and stuff like that, right? And there's just some matchups where I go, oh, I just can't win this matchup because I don't own certain characters, right? Like, I don't own, like, Quinn, Set, Ornn, whatever, right? And I kind of feel like it does feel like shit game design when you have to play a certain thing to like beat certain characters. Like you just lose if you play a certain archetype. And I think nerfing characters like Aphelios so that you don't have to play mages to win lane versus him isn't like a bad thing, I guess. Even though I don't think he needs nerfs like overall. Because like you can't just pick mages and you beat him.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. I feel like he doesn't need nerfs, but he's obviously still a powerhouse, so he needs to be changed in some way. Again, this sort of defaults back to the he is popular and getting nerfed, and instead of keeping him where he is and buffing everything else, like we're just gonna nerf him instead.
Yeah,
which may be a little easier, I suppose. But these don't seem too terribly rough. Maybe the ultimate nerf. That's probably
it. Yeah, it's not, like, awful. It's just, he probably doesn't need nerfs, but I don't think it's bad. Next is Cassiopeia, though, who's getting fucking gutted by lowering her base magic resist by two. People circle jerk so hard about stuff, man. Like, so there's one rioter who is a Cassiopeia one trick, and he's on the balance team. And he's, like, always been, like, a high diamond, like, low master player. Why can't I think of his name? Whatever his name is, right? He hasn't played ranked this year. People are like circle jerking that like they're not nerfing or harder because he's on the balance team.
The guy doesn't play ranked.
The game anywhere. He's like doesn't really play. Just like he obviously like probably still likes the character and probably does want to see her balance like favorably. You know what I mean? Like if I was on the balance team, I probably wouldn't want to nerf my favorite characters. I would because it's your job. You know what I mean? But like you'd go, you're a little bit biased. I guess is the way to put it, right? But
also, he's not the only person on the team.
Yeah. Right, King Cobra is his name. But it's like, man hasn't played ranked this year, guys. I don't know what you're saying. People are like, yeah, they're not nerfing her because he won't be able to get like high diamond again. It's like, what? Okay, sure.
That seems appropriate, though. Like, come on. He's obviously in there like, only take away two magic resist, not three. That'd be too much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to win my games if you took away three magic resist.
It's insane that, like, this person probably doesn't even work on Cassiopeia balance.
Yeah, it's a group effort
like,
for stuff.
He probably has, some level of input, but he certainly doesn't have the final approval.
Yeah.
And what about the people that do? Like, okay, what if, I don't know, what if I'm head of the balance team and someone brings a Lucian nerf? No, we must keep his win rate at 58%.
Like sometimes, like don't get me wrong.
When you apply for Riot Games, they ask you your top 10 most played characters, and you're not allowed to work on balance changes for
like,
that.
I'm not trying to defend Balance Team because I do think sometimes they do make some fucking weird decisions. But like, I just think the Circle Jerk's a little bit hard. Like Circle Jerk that they're like shit at balance when they do shit. Like, remember like 3 years ago when like they just randomly nerfed Volibear.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, random. Like, he was, like, a 46% win rate character, like, 0% play rate, and they just nerfed him one patch. It's like, okay, someone on the balance team probably lost to Evolve. You know what I mean? But, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Alright. Up next, we have Gnar. His E attack speed has been increased, and the attack speed duration has also been increased. So,
nice.
Some little buffs for the little guy.
That seems kind of insane.
Oh, that's 20% at first level.
And this is what you max last,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're doubling the effectiveness of it?
Yeah, you're getting your equivalent of your third level immediately in terms of what attack speed you get, and you get it for a bonus second. That's really strong.
It's not, like, overpowered. It's not going to make him crazy, but yeah. I think it's the right way of buffing him, because, like, let's be real, Gnar is a character that can be a fucking nightmare when he's overpowered or like overtuned at all, right? So it's kind of probably like a right like level of balance.
I think the biggest limiting factor is the fact that he can't actually abuse it because he'll just transform.
True.
Like that's always been the thing about Gnar, is like if he didn't transform, his QWE combo would be insane, because you could just constantly kite like forever and ever and ever. But you get through, like, one or two of those combos, you go, oh, I'm Big Gnar now, and I can't do it anymore.
You do turn into a better character, then.
Oh, yeah, you do. But you can't play that, like, indefinite kite anymore.
Yeah. Cool. Kalista, her base attack damage growth is decreased. Pretty slightly, but it'll be, what, 9 attack damage at max rank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kog'Maw is getting his Q and R damage ratios increased. I think this is really cool. I actually think we could see mid Kog'Maw. I don't think he's bad, like, honestly.
I don't think he's ever been, like, terrible. He just requires a lot of items and levels to build, like, to get to where he needs to be.
He's a scary character to give, like 0.2 to his Q and 0.1 to his ult, though, because, like, he's a character that late game, he has, like, a 600 AP build, like, sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. At the very least, 600, if not higher.
He's like one of those characters that
builds
a fucked amount.
Mm-hmm.
He can get a crazy high AP ratio, and yeah, like, I don't know if I like this, because I don't personally want to see any more AP Kog'Maw, but I don't think it's an issue. Like, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot more Kog'Maw because of this.
Yeah.
Lucian, his Q ability range increased. From, was it 900 to 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can tell I'm actually on the balance.
So, I would have liked to see maybe if they, like, made the cast range longer and, like, the actual, like, piercing range a little bit longer, too. Because I feel like that's how you have to use the ability most of the time, is, like, throw a minion into somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think giving him a little range is kind of iffy.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty balanced around the fact that he has mediocre attack range, because if he has longer range, he's cancer.
Do you think he's overpowered if they give him back his 50 range at any point?
Probably.
Yeah. I feel like
I don't think in the bottom lane. I think in solo lane.
I think he just destroys solo lanes. That's the problem.
Absolutely. Yep. It takes his like matchups that are already maybe, I don't know, 60-40 and turns them even further.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the wrong direction. Nocturne. They have a bug fix on his passive cooldown. It now always procs against monsters.
It's really, really nice, actually.
Yeah.
Nunu. These changes are crazy to me. Q and the Q damage and the healing ratio are increased, and R shield now includes an AP ratio. So his Q, the damage is a 0.65 ratio, the healing has a 0.9 ratio, and his ult now just has like a 1.5 ratio now. For AP.
Wow.
It literally just went from not having a ratio to... Like, there's no way you kill this character during his ultimate anymore, right? Like, there's no way you kill him through it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, those are big buffs, man.
I mean, if he has, what, 400 AP, it's a 600 shield.
Yeah.
Before bonus health, before the base amount as
That's what I mean. The shield's already pretty big, but, like, you could definitely burst him if, like, possible. But now, like, there's, there's no way you kill him through his ult.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the thing that it's going for is, like, if you build the standard Nunu build right now, you're not getting any bonus health on the shield or any, like, really ability... Like, nothing really changes with the current build, because you don't really build any AP. But if you do decide to go AP Nunu, it'll actually do something instead of having an ultimate that doesn't give you any shield at all.
I think solo lane Nunu's coming, though, honestly.
All right, we'll see, we'll see. I think we'll probably see, like, more of the, like, runic echoes into tank That's Nunu fair. With maybe, like, one more AP item, whether it be, like, an Hourglass or Liandry's.
Yeah, Liandry's. I mean, it's just going to be protobelt, right? Like, in real...
It could be protobelt.
I think that's the best AP item in the game, like, honestly. It's so cost-effective.
It's pretty nuts. Up next, we have Ornn. Passive health and mana items now retain previous health and mana percentages.
You just don't get health when you buy a health item with this passive in lane.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
So, like...
Oh, that's nice.
It just means, like, you have to itemize differently. You can't itemize the health early. You have to itemize, like, the resistance. So if you're going to go Abyssal or if you're going to go Sunfire, you have to build the armor or magic resist first because you get the value in lane versus the health.
So I think you still get a partial heal. It's just...
You don't get any of it. No, you stay...
It's based on your percentage. So, what?
You don't get any.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you literally... Wait, Yeah, no, I don't think you get any.
It says previous health and mana percentages.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking that's saying is, like, if I had 1,000 max health and I was at 1,000 and I bought 100, I'd be at 1,100. Mm-hmm. But if I was at 500 and I bought a health, I'd be at 550.
Maybe, yeah. So
that's not very clear, is it?
That's not clear at all, yeah.
No, I think that that's what it's saying when it says health and mana percentages instead of, like, values. Saying it just doesn't give you those stats. So I think it's just maintaining your same level. So if I bought 1,000 health, I would only get 1,000 health added on if I was full. If I was at half, I'd only add 500.
Okay, that's interesting.
In which case, you still would prefer to build the resistances portion because you get full value, right?
It's just you can't, like, you know, if you lost the trade, you can't go back to your tower, buy a ruby crystal, and get 200 health for free.
Get 3 health.
That was my favorite way to play the set matchup, though. Set just health regens, and I just buy health.
Yeah.
Nice. Rakan, W base damage is increased later. AP Rakan question.
So
mark?
Funny, man. Like, this is like... With a W that packs a bit more punch, Rakan can use this to play more aggressively, play a more aggressive game while majestically dancing it out. It's 20 damage at max rank. Fuck off.
Like, what do you, and you max it last, right? At least in support recon.
It's fucking just like, okay,
so you get 5 more damage at level 14.
You're allowed to say you buffed it, just don't say that, like, it packs a bit more of a punch, you can play more aggressively. No, you can't play more aggressively because your W got 20 more damage at level 18. Oh, it's so silly, man. Rise, base magic resist and attack damage increased. Not big changes.
Syndra, the cost of her Q is up early game, so it's up 20 at first level, and then it still scales to the same at fifth level.
I don't think that's that big of a deal.
That's a pretty big... Oh, really? I think that's huge.
I'm only saying this because I'm biased, because I played against Syndra yesterday. I don't think she has any mana problems, like, early game. And it's your ability that you max first. Right? Like,
that's fair.
I just feel like she has almost zero mana issues.
She does not have, like, she's a pretty easy character to never go Uman. But I think that this does address the, like, level 1, level 2, I'm just going to walk at you and spam Dark Spheres.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, like, you'll be down 100 more mana because of it.
Yeah, okay, the more I think about it, yeah, that's not that big. She definitely needs to be, like, nerfed.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that, yeah, there are definitely other changes, but I think that this is maybe a nice step in the right direction. Yeah.
I mean, League as a whole doesn't have any mana issues, really.
There was a really... I wish I could find it. Who's the Volibear guy? Riot Volibear...
Trick 2G.
Rework designer. He had an awesome thread on his Twitter from last week when we were recording, and I was gonna bring it up. Well, just like, we'll quickly talk about it now. I can't find his name. Lutz. The gist of it, while I like try to find it, was: is mana even a necessary resource in games anymore? Or at least like in League, he was saying that it's an outdated like mechanic. Here it is. It still is like top a thing. He says, hot take. I think the mechanic of mana is archaic and only works well for combat patterns with low CD or non-committal spells, where enemies try to exhaust you of your resources while you try to regulate them. And the latter already exists. It's called energy. For most characters, especially melee, mana is super binary thing where it 100% doesn't matter to you until you have none left. The draining mana bar is just fluff. There's no ebb and flow or tension. It's either it's either not worth thinking about, or it emphatically cripples you. I'm not just talking about League, by the way. I think it's a mechanic that in the industry has collectively grandfathered into modern games designed from 30 years ago or longer. If you look at tabletop stuff, I think it's like a fair design, like a fair like comment like on the design of it.
No, I think so too. It his point about it being it's either yes or no.
Yeah.
It's binary is completely right. Like, at least in, for example, Path of Exile, like, the only reason mana exists is so you can't reserve most of your, like, most of your mana to make your character, passively more stronger. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, mana costs just don't really exist in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way about League, where mana really matters over the course of, like, I don't know, 10 minutes where you don't get to recall, but no one's waiting 10 minutes to recall.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just like one of those things where like, they probably could get away with changing every single character to have no mana or energy, and it would probably work fine if they like took time to do it.
I think so too, but I honestly feel like it works pretty well in, like, here I go again. But I think it works really well in Dota, where mana costs are so tremendously high that you have to pay attention. But the benefit is your abilities don't do more damage when you get items. For the most part, they do the same amount of damage. But your auto attack, like, every character has pretty significant like auto attack damage, because every primary stat you build has like gives you damage. So for instance, if you built the equivalent of, I don't know, like attack damage, well, attack damage isn't a good example, but like, if you built mana, essentially, you'd get more attack damage.
Okay.
So even mages have pretty significant auto attack, of ratios, I suppose. And I think that's really the only way to make mana work, I guess. Is to where it's impactful. Like, a character can have an impact even though they're out of mana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just interesting. I don't think like they should like design it, like change it. But if League of Legends 2 League of Legends 2 did come out, I think it could be a time to like change design philosophies, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
But I think, yeah, as is, there's just so many things that revolve around mana, as is, like, there are runes dedicated to mana,
items.
There are, you know, there are tons of items, there's blue buff, there's, like, there are mana scalings on things, like, there's so much built into it that I think for a League of Legends 1 problem, it'd be more of just increasing the costs on some of these things, and maybe making mana a little bit harder to access.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if I'm playing a character with low mana costs, that's fine. I have a build available to me. But, like, if I want to play a full caster, like, control mage or something, make my costs crazy high, make my abilities super good, and make, like, a Seraph's-esque item that doesn't give you 150 AP.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
150 AP, but also, like, 600 mana.
Yeah.
That's probably underselling it, too.
make it just like 700 mana when like a little bit of AP, but it's like, yeah, okay, if you're gonna play this character that has these game changing abilities, they cost a ton to use, and the strength you get is being able to use them when you buy mana, not getting tons of mana and doing tons of damage. Because like they're exactly what he was saying, you know, you mana isn't ever something you really consider until you have no mana and you're like, wow, I lost that trade because I couldn't cast my Q. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
I just thought it was cool, yeah.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing it up. I didn't realize someone actually in the company thought that way.
Yeah, it's just cool like seeing stuff like that. It just sucks that like people like that post really smart things. It gets zero traction and all the comments on it, like not all of them, I would say like it's only like 15% are lol, 200 years, quit your job. Because people are fucking morons.
Like, yeah. Cool. Next up is Vi. Her Q cooldown has been decreased later. Pretty nice for the girl.
Mm-hmm. Yorick, his R range for Maiden of the Mist, his leash has been decreased. So it's kind of interesting.
What if it didn't just stay forever until it died?
It is kind of crazy that it works like that. But
what if it had like a timer that if it wasn't in combat anymore, it just started decaying? That'd be kind of cool. Yumi, yeah. E-cost increased, so they added this, and we talked about this last week, how they've added a max mana cost to her E to make it so she can't just constantly spam it.
Which means
there's just no mana in the game.
What? It's more expensive over 400 mana? If Yumi has more than 400 mana, it's more expensive always.
It's almost always going to be more expensive. More just like puts a cap on how many times she can use it is like what it really does. All this is really good. So I actually saw Alice's like comment on this. It's Yumi's still going to be picked, but only in comps where she has a like reason to be in that comp, right? Because like you'll still build her the way that you want, and you'll have to add in probably a mana item at some point to like compensate for this, some sort of like heavy mana regen item. It's just you probably can't pick her into every single match in the game anymore, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
He also like brought up that he thinks that Yumi is the only hyper carry character left in the game. Hyper carry being defined as a character that you pick them, you have your goal set in mind, this is what you're doing, and no matter what the enemy team comp is, you're doing your thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think that's a good definition, and Yumi certainly fits that.
Yeah, I don't know if that is... I think that there are other characters that could probably fit that definition, but I also think that's a good definition of, like, you're not worrying about counterplay at all. It's literally just, I have my mission, and if I execute it, I win.
It's like what old Yi used to be, but I feel like even Yi now, like, you can, like, change some things depending on what the enemy team is, right? Like, you're still going to slam your face into people, but, like, yeah, I feel like Yumi's the only one who just, like, actually goes in with her gameplay and it doesn't get altered at all.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to press E on the most fed character. Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
Runes. Conqueror is getting a change, so it has more stacks, and the scaling is, like, less, so you have to stack up more stacks to get it fully... to its effectiveness, which I think is a bad change. I think it just like separates the gap of like characters who abuse it and characters who don't even more. Like characters like Urgot, where they just insta-proc it. Like I feel like this just makes him a better user of that and everyone else a worse user of that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, it makes that gap even wider because it was already hard enough to hit, you know, your five stacks, and now it's like, oh, we got to hit 12. Or what? It's sub six.
Yeah. And then Guardian's getting a nerf because they made it so that it has the thing where like you have to take a certain amount of damage for it to proc. They also buffed the mount on it, so they're nerfing it back down to its old amount, but keeping the like proc chance thing.
Yeah, that's a good change. Mm-hmm. I think they buffed Guardian a little too much, so good to see them addressing it. Death Dance, the base post mitigation damage storing decreased for ranged champions.
Don't think it's enough.
No, I don't think so either. And I don't really think that's why you buy the item.
I mean, you buy it because it's 30-30 resists. Like,
yeah, I think the resists are a bigger part of it.
Yeah.
But.
And then there's some characters, like Vayne in particular, who just gets an obscene amount from that healing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's more of like a...
I think that that's unintended. A side effect, yeah, where like the main issue is 30-30 resist is crazy, and it just makes it so that your character that's supposed to be able to be one-shot really can't be anymore.
Mm-hmm. Gives them an opportunity to counter.
Like that play. Fucking Ezreal build?
While still being a very good offense.
Have you guys seen that Ezreal?
Yeah, dude, fucking Conqueror plus Death Stance together
Conqueror,
is
Death
nuts.
Stance, Iceborne, Ezreal makes me want to die.
I feel the same way about, what is it? Blade of the Rune King. Blade of the Rune King, Death Stance, QSS / Bloodthirster Kalista. Where it's like, oh, okay, so even with Grievous Wounds, she's healing for, I don't know, 50% of the damage she's dealing? It's wild. This is going to be super harsh. How do you guys feel about a unique passive on every single healing item?
Like, what do you mean?
So, you couldn't stack Death Dance healing and Bloodthirster healing, and, or...
Like, between them? Like, they would all have the same
so
one?
Yeah, any lifesteal item, or... Any lifesteal item, or...
So, you'd choose one.
Spell Vamp, because you can get a Gunblade and a Death Dance, which is dumb.
So,
that's dumb.
So, I don't think it's bad. I just feel like at that point it makes your purchase of a healing reduction item better, you know what I mean? But like, I think there needs to be better healing reduction in the game. I feel like 50% isn't enough. I feel like you should be able to buy healing reduction item, which is like really expensive, like low stats though, so like your tanks, your supports can build this thing, but it like reduces it by like 70% or something like that.
I think the alternative is it's constantly 50%. It has an active that will, I don't know, 75-80% healing reduction for a couple seconds, and you have a window of like, okay, we got to kill him here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I think that there's like a lot of ways to go about it. Yeah.
So healing is definitely an issue, though. That can't be understated. Mm-hmm. They are implementing a 2-patch champion select report and mute test function. So you'll be able to report players in champion select. They do warn that this is only to collect data, mm-hmm. And not to actually implement any punishments. And then for muting people, that will carry over into the game if the game goes through, of course.
I had someone in one of my solo queue games ask, how can you report someone for unskilled player before the game? And my response was just, well, if they lock in Yumi.
True.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
Got him. But nice. No, there are definitely plenty of times where I've wanted to just report somebody because of a champ select. Like, people start trolling second one.
Nick, did we tell you the experience that Colton and I had in our game? Did I tell you that or did I tell someone else?
Oh my god. This
I
is
don't
great.
Think
so.
Did.
Colton and I decided, we were like, hey, you know, we're just two boys hanging out. So let's play a duo game. So we hop on our accounts, right? Get into champion select, and our AD carry has the account name Catlaw, KATLAW. So our support and our jungler, Colton and our top mid, fucking lose their minds. They're like, fucking cat 80 carry, fuck this, this game's fucking over, cat 80 carry, gg. So our support locks in Fizz and our jungler locks in Annie. Our 80 carry, whose name's Catlaw, isn't a cat main, just an 80 carry player, just has the name cat in their name.
Oh my god.
So our
god.
Two teammates fucking lost their mind, double troll picked because they thought she was gonna pick something that they didn't like. But that wasn't the case. So then she picked her AD carry. I'm like, fuck it, let's just play this. And then we lost really hard because we had double troll picks thinking that she was going to...
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing.
Holy shit. That is insane.
I've never seen people get that upset about something that didn't happen.
Oh my god. That's insane.
It's wild.
Holy shit.
Ugh.
I feel so bad for that person. And
she didn't say a single thing all game.
Damn.
Yeah, that was a funny thing. Like, didn't hover cat, doesn't main cat, just like picked a regular AD carry. Yeah.
Fuck. And then we have a slew of bug fixes. My favorite, they've updated the names of the Mafia and Gangster line to Crime City.
Crime City's not a good name, but like...
Hey, boys, question? Who the fuck is living in Crime City?
We know a few people living in Chicago.
Me and the family were just thinking about, you know, Crime City. It was between Switzerland and Crime City.
There were, like, lots of good name suggestions I saw on Reddit. Like, Crime Syndicate is, like, just a better version of it. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, lots of things, but... I don't mind them changing account like skin names. People were very upset that they were changing them. So,
do you think they got reached out like by the Mafia? So the Mafia reached out.
They
to
said
them
that there
like, hey.
Were some players who were upset with the connotations of Mafia being like with like their Italian player base, something like that.
Which
people
okay.
were like, well, they're it's a based on American Mafia, based on like the skin and stuff. But I'm like, who cares? If anyone's upset about it, yeah, you can say you like grow a thicker skin, but like, just change it. It's a fucking skin name. Who cares? Like, it affects us way less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, it literally doesn't matter.
Yeah, it literally doesn't
like,
matter.
Who cares? Who cares? Nice. We have several skins coming out. Pool Party Jarvan, Heimerdinger, and Syndra. As along with Pool Party Talia and Orianna.
The Heimer one's so good, man. Look at this. Look at the Chromas. Look at him.
Oh, the Heimer one is so good.
It's one of the best skins they've made.
And then each of them have a set of Chromas along with Nurse Akali, Kenan MD, and Surgeon Shin.
I like when they go back to old skins and make some Chromas.
I do too. And they look really nice for those skins as well. So... pretty exciting. Are you guys thinking about getting any of these?
Maybe the Heimer one. I don't even play Heimer, dude, but I love supporting shit like that.
I'll probably get the Heimer and the Orianna skin because I gotta buy all the Orianna skins.
The Heimer one's so fucking good. I didn't realize how much I loved it until
so cute,
until
man.
You pointed out. I love his mustache changing too. Dang. Also, is he canonically like jacked now?
Yeah, he's fucking ripped.
Cool. That's the patch notes. Tell me about this Little Legends drama.
So it's just like a little bit of stuff. So on, everyone knows you have to get Little Legends from TFT. It's like your little avatar that you play. And in ARAM, they like follow you around. They're kind of like cute. So people were complaining, like a small amount of people were complaining about like clarity. I personally never had clarity issues with like the Little Legends, but I can't see how it'd be possible. So their solution was, yeah, they're just removing them from ARAM. And people were upset by that because that's just a... once again, just like one of those moves where it's just like, yeah, we're just deciding something and just randomly go ahead with it. So people like were up in a fuss about that, being like, why don't you just spend like the tiniest little bit more time and just add an option to disable them? Like if you want to like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my go-to suggestion I was going to mention.
Yeah, so like they eventually went, hey, like, yeah, we understand our decision was wrong and it was like a little bit too like heavy-handed. So we're going to delay our... movement on this until we figure out a better solution. It just feels like it was just super heavy-headed, just like some people think it's some clarity issues. Yeah, we'll just like turn it off.
there was that, and then there was also the drama regarding
refunding for it.
There were some people that got up in arms. They're like, I bought Little Legends solely for my ARAM game so I could have a buddy. And I don't even play TFT, but you're not going to give me a refund. And then they
the
were
refund
like,
thing,
okay, if you have zero
trash.
If you have zero TFT games, we'll give you a
that's
refund.
That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Zero.
But that's dumb, too. Because it's like, if I played like 20 games of TFT and decided, okay, I gave it a try and I didn't like it, like, I don't play TFT.
Hey, what if you played one game because you tried it when it came out? That's it. You're out.
Yeah, it's insane, but whatever, they're going back on it, so that's cool. It's just, like, it's, like, one of those silly things that they just, like, decide to do almost randomly with, like, doing it in the worst possible way, so it's good that they went back on it.
That's a question mark. I agree. We mentioned the champion select reporting / muting, but they had a special little dev blog. Is there any additional information
there? It's just, like, pretty straightforward, just that it's a test for now, but, like, they're just looking at collecting data, which I think is good.
That's good. Boys... Nexus Blitz is on the PvE.
I'm so excited.
I am so excited as well. This might actually, depending on when it comes out, may actually convince me to purchase the Battle Pass. Because I'll be playing enough League to to finish the mission.
It's Ionia themed this year too. Like they have the entire map like skins like Ionia, which is really, really cool.
That's cool. I'm pretty excited. Definitely my favorite fun game mode. I am glad that it is not a permanent one though.
I'm gonna only play Redacted every single game again.
Yeah.
Sword of the Divine, baby. It's
so fun, dude. True. Sword of the Divine is my favorite item in the game.
Okay. One of my favorite Nexus Blitz like builds was what's the item
that just builds stat from stick?
Stat stick Callista was so, or not Callista, Kai'Sa was so fucking fun. By the time you got that second stat stick, the game is done.
Yeah.
Woo. Cool. Aiden, why don't you tell us about some old champs?
Yeah. So
what about our five stars?
We don't have any. Please send some more in, please. Thank you. You got a lot last week, so it's good that you guys took a week off, but get back on next week. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to have some time to yourself, rest up, self-care and all that, but you know, send us some reviews. Yeah. Make me read shit that Nick and Aiden are gonna flame me for.
True.
So we've done this twice before. First time we went over a couple characters, we went over Raw Blackblade, and then we went over another one. I don't remember who the second guy was. And last,
some plant lady.
That was
right?
Last time we went over Gavit and Princilla, the Spider Queen.
Oh, yeah.
So this week we're gonna go over two characters. We're gonna go over Well and Averdrian. That's how I'd pronounce it. How would you guys pronounce this word? I should have looked up how you're supposed to pronounce them before. That would be a good host thing to do.
Yeah, Averdrian.
Yeah, let's go with Averdrian. Want to start with him first?
Averdrian.
We have less information on him, so like it's going to be a little bit all over the place. First of all, he doesn't have lore.
Okay.
He did have two different titles, though. Originally, his was the Astral Guardian, but it got changed to the Smurf Abortion.
The Smurf Abortion.
Yeah, that was what it was left as in the files before they removed him.
What?
Anyways, character. Let's go through his abilities. Tell me how you think they are. So his passive is Astral Barrier, and the text for it is four astral spirits. So,
okay.
Let's assume he just has astral spirits that are just hanging out or whatever. Cool. His Q is called Astral Beam. When activated, it sends a coiled beam of light towards an enemy dealing damage. This damage is not preventable in any way. The damage scales from 70 to 270. 6.6 second cooldown, costs zero mana.
Perfect.
Next, his W is called Detonate. The active is releases a pulse of energy dealing damage around Averdrian and slowing the enemies within 100 units for 5 seconds. So the damage is 115 to 280. Slow is 25%, scaling up to 45%. Once again, a 6.6 second cooldown, zero mana.
Okay.
His E is called Consume Spirit. Active. Averdrian absorbs one of his spirits, granting him additional spell damage and a damage aura, dealing damage each second to nearby enemies for 60 seconds. The spell damage is 14 to 30. So I'm assuming that's just going to be AP. So you're going to get 14 to 30 AP whenever you activate it, like for the duration. And the damage aura for the 60 seconds scales from 10 to 30. So in an area, you're going to do up to 30 damage per second. The cooldown of this ability is 4.8 seconds. I'm assuming you can't activate it while it's already activated, though. And the effect radius is only 100. So it's like really, really small radius, though. Once again, zero mana.
Okay, that ability is garbage.
Zero mana as well. R is Lockdown. Ensnares an enemy in a deadly energy, strangling it. Caster channels for 5 seconds to deal damage each second to the target and prevents all movement and actions of the target. So it's a suppression. It does 75 damage per second, scaling to 115 damage per second. For 5 seconds.
Okay.
So it's like a pretty big nuke. It's a 30-second cooldown. It's a pretty short cooldown. Zero mana.
Wait, a 30-second cooldown on a 5-second suppress?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very fair.
Well,
he had another passive that was like removed at some point. So it's a second Q. So like we can choose which Q we want for him. So this Q doesn't have a name. But the active of it is Averdrian's energy shield gains damage reduction, 12 to 60% damage reduction scaling. 6.6 second cooldown again. This is a 30 second cooldown. So he has like a damage reduction of up to 60% for like 5 seconds.
So I think he's the best jungler in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think as soon as you're level 6, you walk to top lane, suppress the person for 5 seconds, and they get a kill. And then you just run straight to mid lane, and by the time you get there, the ultimate's back up again. Yeah.
And then you just go back to top.
You want
to
look at some base stats to maybe like change your opinion a little bit? Yeah. So 55 base AD.
They're going
to
be awful.
Scales up to 105. Base 1 armor scales up to 5.3. Okay. 0 base magic resist. 0.3 base mana regen. 300 base mana, which scales up to 1,000. And health is 360, and it scales up to 870. So,
all right, so maybe he's a pretty dog shit jungler.
360 health is not a lot. One armor.
Yeah, he wouldn't survive the jungle.
Is he supposed to be a support?
I know, he's supposed to be released 9 years ago when characters were built for having one armor and 300 health. Mm-hmm.
I think he could still work in the modern era as a support. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 5 seconds of press. What are you going to do about it?
He's cute, too, if you guys like want a picture of him.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I've seen that before. Yeah.
That's been a minute.
Man,
that's a good
one. It's a cool
one,
yeah. So, where do you guys think he's going to be? How good do you think he'd be in the meta?
I think a 5 second suppression on a 30 second cooldown is fucking insane, especially when you factor in cooldown reduction. Mm-hmm. Let's find out real quick.
You'd get down to a 5 second suppress on like a 17 second cooldown.
Yeah, it would be 18 seconds cooldown.
It was 40 or 45.
It's 30 seconds. I did 40. 45, yeah, 17 seconds.
Cool, with Ultimate Hunter?
Math.
Oh, yeah. With Ultimate Hunter, yeah, probably like 15-ish.
So, he's probably playable, yikes. Just not good, I think.
Cloud Drake? Cloud Drake's
Cloud Drake, just like always up.
Could you permanently suppress someone?
Probably not, but it'd be close.
Him plus Ornn, permanent. Yeah.
It doesn't work with suppressions, my friend.
Ooh.
I don't care. Mm. Ornn's got enough CC that in the 6 seconds that it's off cooldown, Ornn can keep them CC.
Yeah. Well, anyways, our next character is Sartorius. Sartorius. Yeah, Sartorius. He's the Hydro Soul. I'll give you guys a picture while I'm like reading through his lore. This guy's cool lore, so I want to read through it.
Okay.
Here's a cool picture of him for you guys.
Whoa!
Okay. The Hydra Soul, residing in a secluded temple at the edge of the Corbin Sea, Sartorius, the self-named High Priest, became notorious in the surrounding area for his daily rituals of rebirth, which he performed on the fearful townsfolk. The ritual of rebirth consisted of Sartorius dragging a screaming innocent to the shore and forcing them below the thrashing waves until water filled the poor soul's lungs and he was rendered unconscious. Sartorius would then proceed to then rebirth the lost man by bringing him back to the shore and pressing his holy hand on the victim's chest until he's brought back, choking and coughing, reborn into the world as an acolyte to the high priest. For years, Sartorius conducted the rituals of rebirth unchallenged, groaned fanatically in his success with the rituals. Sartorius was sure that his belief was so sure in his belief that his own ritual would result in a divine transformation of his body, elevating him to an even higher level of power. At a command from Sartorius, his acolytes lowered the priest into the cold dark sea. Unfortunately, his rebirth did not go as planned, and water filled his lungs. The dying high priest made one last prayer to the high powers. Reborn by the immortals, he named himself Well, the Hydro Soul, and lives only to do their bidding.
That's the dopest shit I've ever heard.
It's
kind of
cool.
So, that's 100% taken from a song.
Yeah,
of
no,
Ice
it's 100% the god. Yeah, the drowned god.
Yeah, it's the drowned god. But like, oh, what a fucking cool character. Like, even though it's like taken from something else, like shit, that's a cool idea. Like that religion of the fucking what is it? The Iron Isles. Yeah, it's nuts.
Anyways. Dang. Let's go through some of his abilities. His passive, nearby allied units gain 0.4 to 0.8 based on level mana every second. Very bad passive. Not a lot of mana regen.
Yeah.
His Q, summon water elemental. No information about it. Just he summons a dude, okay? his W, when he activates it, a column of water, it's called Crushing Wave. When he activates it, a column of water crashes through enemies in a line, dealing damage. If Crushing Wave touches a water elemental, it sends a duplicate Crushing Wave in the direction the water elemental is facing, starting from the water elemental itself. The damage on this is 80 scaling to 270, 10 second cooldown, 600 range. Costs a fucked amount of mana. It's 150 mana, though.
Holy shit. Okay.
It's fine, though, because he gives AoE 0.4 mana.
His E is called Vortex. Active. Well creates a vortex of water at a target location that deals damage every second. Enemies moving away from the vortex are slowed by 90%. Enemies moving perpendicular to the vortex are slowed by 30%. Damage per second is 15 to 55. And then it has 400 range, and it is 150 mana again. 20 second cooldown. And then his ultimate is Torrent. It is a global ability, costs 200 mana, 2 minute cooldown, active. Creates a heavy downpour that covers the entire map, increasing friendly units' health and mana regen, and all allied champions gain increased spell damage. Health and mana regen is increased by 10 scaling to 30, so I'm assuming it's 10 health per... It'd probably be per 5, right? It couldn't be like 30...
Yeah, per
yeah,
five,
so yeah. 30 per 5 for mana and health, and then the spell damage is 20 to 40. So I'm assuming that should be AP. You get 20 to 40 AP. It's kind of cool.
I mean, is that really like a cool idea? And it kind of makes me want them to like revisit it with like modern abilities. I was just thinking when it was describing the vortex ability, how fucking dumb that would look if it was like that plus an Aurelion Soul. Like, really, just spinning around the vortex, and, like, every time you try and change directions to get on him, you just slow by 90%. Yeah.
I think this character sounds like dog
shit.
Yeah,
I think he's pretty bad. You know, obviously, has, like, all, the, like, the really shitty, like, stats and stuff. Like, you don't even really need to go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think his, like, he has, assuming his, I don't know, assuming his, elemental functions like in a similar effectiveness to other summons, it's probably pretty bad.
What if I showed you a summon? Would this change your opinion what it looks like?
Maybe my opinion can be swayed. That's pretty dope, but I don't, it doesn't look like something that's like fucking shit up, you
yeah
know?
That's true. It just looks like a seahorse.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a seahorse, which is dope, just not like in the way that he needs it to be, which leaves his W is the only like good ability that he has.
His W is pretty good, though, I think.
Yeah, 270, like, AoE nuke that can duplicate. Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's also a cool idea. It's a cool ability for, like, early, like, an early character. Like, an ability that, like, duplicates itself based on the direction of a summon.
Mm-hmm. Very, it reminds me a lot of Lulu's EW or EQ interaction. But to more of like a controlled degree, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Yeah, I think he's pretty cool. I don't think he's good, but it's just cool looking at like characters that were like trashed.
If he had some sort of CC, I think he would be a good character. If his ultimate had CC attached to it, he'd be good. Mm-hmm. But
hell yeah! So that's our canceled characters. I think if I continue the series at some point, I might just like do some like abilities. Like I'll pull like maybe like 3 to 5 cool abilities that were like removed or like canceled.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about those, but that's fun.
Poggers. Let's talk about the LCS.
Let's just talk about it generally. I don't even really care about standings. What do you guys think? Have you guys watched any games really?
Yes. I've watched 3 games this, this split.
I haven't watched any LCS this split.
I've watched 1 game.
I've been gifted 3 games by my Counter Logic gaming god.
It's insane that they're tied for second, and they look like they're not the worst. So Immortals is worse, 100 Thieves is worse, and there's probably
Dignitas.
One, oh yeah, Dig is worse. Yeah, those three. So they're probably the fourth worst team, but they're in second.
Yeah, granted they have played those teams pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's not looking too good in the next coming
I think
weeks,
they play Cloud9 TSM this week.
Yeah, so that's probably OTU.
And then I think they play TL someone next week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably like 04, honestly.
Yeah.
Did you know that the last time CLG went 2-0 in a week was like August of 2019?
Yeah.
So almost a calendar year. Huh. Yeah. I feel like for the rest of the league, FlyQuest has been looking pretty good. But I don't think anyone has really been on Cloud9's level. Like still.
Yeah, it's Cloud9, and then EG looks good, but they're playing. I think they're worse than Cloud9. They look good, but I don't think they're like. There's a big gap, I still think.
I think so too. It's definitely one and then a very far.
No, the gap is closing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not true. Because
it probably is. Like in theory of like team strengths, it's probably Cloud9, EG, FlyQuest, and then it gets rough. TL, mm-hmm. TSM. I don't even want to put TSM. Maybe Golden Guardians, then TSM. Something like that.
Yeah, TSM is weird because I feel like they've looked okay in some games and then really bad other games.
Like they're a better team pound for pound than Golden Guardians, but I think they're just playing like. They don't have a style right now. They just like are all over the place.
Yeah, they tried like some weird tank Fiddlestick stuff this past weekend.
Fiddle mid's like pretty good. Like it's a good pick. They just aren't using it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Has like really good wave clear. You can never like die with it. It's like super sick. But yeah, I thought it was like it's cool that they're trying shit, right? Like that's something that no other teams like has played. No one else has played mid fiddle, but
yeah, I mean they're. Basically what? Guaranteed a playoff spot?
Yeah, for sure. Just they need to pull their shit together before like end of the split so they can get a world slot. Because it's obviously going to be Cloud9 like 100%. And then obviously it can like change. But right now it's looking like EG FlyQuest. Or maybe even TL instead of one of those. Who knows, right?
Yeah, it depends on how TL like turns out. But...
Cool.
Yeah. And then LEC. I don't know anything about LEC.
I haven't watched a single game yet. I heard some of the games are like have been pretty interesting. I know G2 like shit the bed one week instead of Fnatic, but I don't think so. They get 4 seeds at Worlds this year, so there's no way that G2, Fnatic, and probably like Origin aren't going to go to Worlds. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I think that's
it's just like
probably the case.
Like even if like G2 continues to shit that and Fnatic continues to shit the bed, there's no way they're worse than fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm just gonna take a quick look at standings and see if there's anything surprising. I don't think so.
Yeah, I just feel like it's been pretty straightforward, other than like the couple like weird losses by Fnatic and G2.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Let's get into the roundtable.
Yeah. So last week's question was, it was the Avatar question, making the Avatar creators want you to make a kids program to appear on Nickelodeon. So from our Facebook, Chris said, I don't know about a kids show, but I feel like I'd enjoy an HBO show, about the rise and fall of Shurima. Jake says, I think a show based around New Orleans and Bandle City could be fun, could have an almost Smurfs-like vibe and be kid-friendly. We also, What we want is the TVMA version of a League anime on Adult Swim, a la Game of Thrones meets Avatar. It would be a war between Noxus and Demacia, and eventually add in other regions. And last from our Facebooks is from Sigurd, and he says, I actually think the same studio was the ones who actually made the Bard animation short. I think he's right. Like that's why I like pulled that up. I forgot to look it up, but I'm almost certain I remember reading about that. Like the people who made the Bard animation short was the Avatar studio. I believe that's correct. I meant to look it up and I didn't look it up. So that could just be misinformation. From our Discord, we have one from Orden, and he says, if they would make a League series on TV, it'd probably revolve around Echo/Vi and the Children of Zaun, follow a woman, Vi, coming to terms with the fact that she can't remember her past and working with another woman she's falling in love with, Caitlin, and make it kind of like a buddy cop show. So you get a good A plot with lots of diversity and inclusiveness, and the rest of the story could revolve around Echo protecting the Children of Zaun and being a young inventor. Cameos include Hymer, Ziggs, Jace, Singed, Urgot, Warwick, good B plot with plenty of levity and tales of friendship versus adversity. Next, it's from next from Jokes. He said, honestly, I would love a Freljord. I'm assuming show. The ice people, the Ice People show, where it's centered around things like Ash, you know, tribes such one he could be the original BBE like Zuko was. Colton, you need to have to translate this for me. And when you
I think that's big bad enemy.
Okay, that would make sense. And then you have Ash getting help from the spirits like Anivia. And there could be a cool side arc where Sejuani and Ash team up to fight Lissandra and realize their weapons do nothing versus her. So they have to find Ord, who won't forge a weapon capable of handling her unless they end the conflict he has with Volibear. Or a side arc where they travel to Bilgewater and try to recruit allies to fight against Trundle because they heard Olaf had left to Bilgewater. Yeah, I feel like there's so many cool things you can do with lore in general, though. Average Otter says, I think Noonan and Willip could be a good idea for a show. Noonan would be the young protagonist kids could relate to, and Willip could be the cool pet you wish you could have. Willip could be the narrator since he's the one who held the magic that now resides in Noonan, and he himself knows that Noonan's greatest is the greatest hope that Freljord has. It could be a story about how a creature who saw the entire civilization succumb to tragedy learns to live and love. Also, the fact that Nunu is a child with a wild imagination could create a bunch of silly situations or provide unlikely situations to or solutions to problems. There is also room for merchandising since Nunu's cap is pretty iconic and easily distinguishable, and Willup would make a great plushie for kids. I think that's the best fucking kid show idea so far. And then last, but not least, is from Ulmer. She says, a story about Jax. He could fight every champ with a different weapon, but never a real one. I like the idea of every weapon just being Jax fighting a different person with, like, a different non-weapon.
You know my favorite thing about his answer was? He amended it 20 hours later.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, this has been on my mind for a while.
Cool.
I think the Jax thing would be so good as, like, a series of shorts, or, like, if that was just at the end of the episodes, like, Jax is just, like, you know, like, the end clips in Community?
Yeah.
Just, like, today, Jax fights Gragas with a salami.
Yeah. Like, they, yeah, just be goofy little shorts, and it'd be fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Next, this week's question, sorry, is, you're in charge of implementing a new mechanic, item ability, map element, etc., into League of Legends. What is it, and what does it do? It could be literally anything. Just something, like, new to the game.
Hmm.
I know it's, like, kind of a hard thing just to come up on the spot, so if you don't have anything, it's fine as well.
So I would jump in. I still think that reworking of the poison mechanic in general would be great, where it's actually a condition effect and not just a damage over time. So that's one place I could see things going that I think would be cool. Another idea that I've been having that I think would be kind of interesting is that characters could have a stat that, like, their size, not just, like, aesthetically, but it would play into things like tenacity, where then you could build into tanks because they're large. Right, like, if you're, you know, a large size as opposed to, like, a Yordle would be small, and then, like, most humanoid champions would be, like, medium, but then, you know, your Cho'Gath could become, like, huge or whatever, right? Like, kind of like the size categories in D&D. But I think that'd be a way that you could build, like, CC onto those characters, or tenacity onto those characters, as well as having things like, you know, if you're, you know, two size categories larger than your opponent, like, this ability does extra shit.
Nick, am I crazy, or does that happen in Dota? Like, do, like, character sizes mean something?
It might for some things, but I don't think there's a general, like, baseline.
Okay, I thought there was for some reason. For it.
There might be that I'm just not aware about. I have.
Like, wouldn't it be dope if you could get big enough on Cho'Gath where it's just, like, your five size categories, your feast just one hits them?
I have, like, 300 hours on Dota, and I don't know how most things work.
It's weird. We have the same, like, even more time on League, and we still don't know how shit works.
That's true.
So character size and poison being an actual condition would be my big two.
Cool.
This is a really hard question to just spring on.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. Mine was just going to be that I would like there to be either through a character, like, meaning, like, an ability or a mechanic on a character, or through a expensive support item that has, like, low stats, have a mechanic where you can destroy or create pathways through terrain, whether it be temporary or permanent.
Ooh, as like a little builder character?
Just like anything. Like even if it was like a magical portal-esque thing, right? Like a bard thing that you could have like on a item. You know what I mean? Like that'd be cool. Or like having a character that has permanent damage to like environments. I feel like that'd be so sick, man. I would love to like...
That'd be
like,
pretty dope,
it's
yeah.
definitely something where they probably thought of at some point but didn't have the technology. But now they definitely do have the technology, like seeing as they like shape the maps with the dragons and stuff.
Yeah, put in villager from Animal Crossing. So I think mine is going to be like an ability mechanic. I think so. This sounds cancer as fuck, but really interesting. Sort of like a portal-esque character who will place a portal somewhere, and abilities will duplicate there as well. I think that'd be really cool. I think that'd be fucking cancer, though.
Yeah, it'd be cool, though.
Yeah.
When your mid laner is helping your jungle duo Baron while pushing the tower.
Well, it would be like a, I don't know, like a Heimerdinger turret range. Yeah. But it would duplicate your abilities, like, out of the portal. Like a more permanent, like, shadow, I suppose, for Zed.
It could be interesting if they also added things that, like, bounced off of either terrain or units.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool if you could like Ezreal Q off a wall.
Ooh, like a ricochet mechanic.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope.
That'd be so messy though when they first implemented it. Like you'd Q something and be like, wait, why did it go in that direction?
That'd be a fucking nightmare, but it'd be so sick.
Ooh, what about an item that turns all your targeted abilities into skill shots, but they deal double damage? Obviously double damage is a lot,
that'd
but
be sick though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. If you want to tell us what you would implement into League of Legends, you can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our roundtable and post in our come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section.
Nice. Okay. That takes us into Mail Fight, where the first email is from The Prodigy, who says, "Hello, I am new to listening to your podcast, but love what you guys do. I'm terrible at the game, but I try my best to have fun and just not to feed. I heard a roundtable question or a question come up a few weeks ago on your podcast about adding a character from another game to League and what their abilities would be. I think a cool addition would be a hunter character from Halo. His Q could be his club, his W would be his shield, E could be a cannon blast, and his ultimate would be something like a Lux or Senna ultimate, where his cannon fires a bigger blast doing more damage. I'd love to hear your opinion on it. Thank you, and keep up the great work. It's fantastic, The Prodigy." So I have not played a lot of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
Is the hunter like the big, huge
it's
guy?
It's like the really, really big guy with like all the armor and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you gotta like shoot their back, right? Who's the guy that helps
Arbiter.
Master Chief in number two? Arbiter. Okay, that's what I was thinking this whole time, and I was like, bro, you didn't mention his energy sword? Because even I know about that. Okay. That'd be cool. That'd be dope. I'd love to see League get more, like, trademarked characters, I suppose.
I don't think they'll ever add in another IP character, right?
I don't think so either, yeah.
I think there's a world in which they add in, like, a character from a different one of their games, though, at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah like, I could see, like, okay, Sova is League of Legends now, or...
Phoenix.
It is hard to imagine these characters in the game, because, like, so... Make the comparison of Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm. It's easy to imagine those characters in Heroes of the Storm. It's easy to imagine Valorant characters in Heroes of the Storm. It's hard to imagine those characters in League for some reason.
Yeah, League just has like such, I would say, more strict rules. But I think that's what Heroes of the Storm was going for. It was like to be a little less, I don't know, like to have characters.
There's some cool shit in that game.
Do more things, I suppose. Yeah, for sure. That'd be dope. They could put Brimstone in and just be Gangplank number two.
True.
Nice. All right. Thank you, Prodigy.
Next email is from Hama. So, ranked ARAM? Yes or no? Obviously, you'd still get the rerolls in the champ reroll pool, but it would make people have to be flexible in playstyle and comp. Because it would be ranked with LP and all that good shit. People would actually have to reroll smartly. And that way a full AP team most likely wouldn't be going against three tanks and a marksman and a burst assassin. Thoughts? So I think you definitely could do ranked ARAM if you wanted to. And I think the way that you'd have to do it is that you're rolled in a random character, and that pool of rerolls is automatically already there. So whether it be there's 5 additional characters, 8 additional characters, 10, whatever it might be, I think that they would have to be there every game. So because I think that's like really shitty decision making on a ranked level of just like, oh, well, I lucked out and got a good ARAM character this game or not.
So I think the best way to do it would be to add bands in, I guess. And then just have a set pool of characters that have already randomly been selected for each team. Mm-hmm. And then remove rerolls, I guess.
I think a way that you could do it would be pretty cool is it would take, you would each get like one ban in the draft phase, and then it would generate a pool of 25 characters, and then you just draft from there in like a back and forth style. So it's like, okay, well, they got, you know, Leona, but then we picked up Swain. Rygar.
I really love that, actually.
Huh?
I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Actually. Yeah. That's so good.
I think that's how you could do a ranked ARAM, is like you would literally have to have them share the pool and draft out of it so that you could have somewhat balanced team comps and actual like valuable decision making. Because otherwise it just feels really shitty where you're like, well, we got out team comped. Whereas if it was a matter of, well, you drafted poorly, then that's your own fault.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot, actually. I think you have to unlock every champion then.
What do you think is better?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, drafting 10 characters and you draft out of the 10? Or do you think it's better to give both teams 10 and then you both blindly pick the 10 against, or out of the 10?
Okay. That,
both those work, right? They're both different ideas.
Yeah, those both would work.
I think it's interesting.
I think that they would want to keep the parity, though, of it being a draft game and you can't have a mirror match.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I think that that's necessary, but I think that they would probably do it that way if they were to do something like this.
Man, I like both of them.
I think it's cool. Like, they're both cool
takes. I don't actually want to pick between either. Yeah. I think, like, there's a lot of... So I love the drafting aspect of like, actually drafting them. Like, one-off versus one another. But I really like the kind of mind game aspect of blind picking. Because it's like, okay, Leona's up there. Obviously, Leona's, like, the go-to. Mm-hmm. So is Kassadin. So do we pick, like... 2 AD like damage dealers, or do we try to outscale them with like a mage, something like that? That'd be
yeah. Deep. Like there's six AP characters up there. Do we pick the AP knowing that they're gonna like realize that we're gonna pick AP, or are they gonna pick fully? Like there's like lots of like different things, right? Like what they're gonna pick, what you should pick against it. Like it's cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think that's the only way you can do ranked ARAM. I don't think the current system could work.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
At least from my perspective, we play a lot of ARAMs for fun,
yeah.
And not like competitively at all. Maybe there are people who do take it competitively.
Most ARAM players, who play by themselves.
I mean, we are tournament champions, so
that's true. Hear me out, with 5 melee characters,
yeah,
and we only use the Banner of Comanches once, right?
They were so fucking mad that we
that game was so
that
fun.
Was the funniest fucking game. This was back when Banner of Command had 100% magic immunity. Yeah. And they had, what, I think 4 AP, AP characters.
They had like 4 APs and a melee AD.
Yeah, someone who's not very good at clearing waves. And it was just the funniest shit. We had 5 Banner of Commands and one off of it. That was fun. Cool, thank you, Hama. Next email, and this one is specifically for Colton, I think. What would your main do if their significant other turned into the moon?
Okay. So if my main's significant other turned into the moon, they would turn to their new buddy Brand and ask for advice. Then Brand would say, "That's rough, buddy." And that's a joke that you guys don't get.
No.
That's fine.
It was very funny, though. We could tell, even though...
I heard the word craft that you put into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even know how to respond to this question.
You can just say yes, and that's okay.
Tom Kench would eat them. He'd eat the moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom Kench
would just eat the moon. Lucian would shoot it.
Yeah, cool.
Pow, pow, pow. Could you imagine if he called the moon? Do you think it would kill the moon?
No.
Dang, dude.
Maybe if it was Earth, Lucian,
how much HP do you think the moon has?
Like, more than 10.
Yeah, I was going to say at least
probably,
seven.
Yeah. Damn. Thank you, Noah. Dream Villain Jay sends the next email. He said, oh, wait. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just so excited.
Yeah, next email is from Dream Villain Jay, and he says, Dream Villain Jay here. If League of Legends were to have a kids show, it should be about Fizz. Just imagine watching his village get absolutely fucked by Tom Kench in stunning Avatar The Last Airbender style animation. This is a kids show because even 5-year-olds would understand that Fizz had it coming.
True.
That's such a good ending.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Dream Villain. Is that also a reference to Avatar?
I mean, a little bit about the idea of, like, your entire just village and people getting destroyed, but this is definitely just a way to frame his hatred of Fizz.
Okay. Cool. thank you, Dream Villain. Next is from Cyber Turtle. On the PBE, they are messing with ways to make the stupid cat manageable and not just a haha Olaf slash Veigar slash anyone go zoom and not die. If they made it to where she had a unique target cooldown on her E, and if she hopped off, it went down 3 times as fast to reset. This encourages her passive in switching teammates while still making her lane playable. Nerfing mana by 15%, I think, guts her. So I like the idea for team fights. I despise it for lane, where I think this means you don't ever get off your AD carry, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? But in team fights, it's super sick. I would love her to be rewarded more for dashing around in the middle of team fights rather than just sitting and pressing E.
Mm-hmm. I think there are a whole bunch of ways you can address problems with Yumi, but most of them come down to, like, she gives too much healing with her E spam, and there's never a reason for her to get off. Mm-hmm. And, like, there are a lot of ways to do it, and this is one of them. If there were, like, any reasonable reward for her jumping off somebody, like, getting her passive auto and then jumping back on, it's just, like, never the right call because it gives so little as opposed to just sitting on somebody and waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you touched on the right idea of, like, okay, we need to reward her for moving around and not sitting on someone. I just don't think this is the way to do it, I guess.
I feel like they're doing already a good job with it, with what they did, though. Like, I feel like that's, like, the main thing is, like, the way they did it isn't, like, awful. It makes her not pickable in everything, but, like, you can still use her passive to get mana back.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Cyber Turtle. Oh, he says, PS, thoughts on a similar champion to Lost Vikings in League? How would you guys set that up? So Lost Vikings is a 3-unit character. Each time they die, it's worth a quarter of a death. And I believe they earn reduced experience as well. I don't think any sort of microing like that should exist in League. Because I don't think the game mechanics itself lends itself to that.
Minion block is already bad enough.
Yeah, and I think there are ways to implement it correctly, but when the highest level of microing is, what, moving Tibbers around? And that's not very intuitive or very good.
Mm-hmm.
I would avoid it, I guess.
I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's interesting. Good question. Thank you, Cyber Turtle.
Next email is from Blitzdank. What do you guys think of Blitzcrank? Top tier support or mid tier? Like, who doesn't even consider it as a possibility that he could be bullet tier? I don't play too much, mainly just for fun, but I main Blitz, Thresh, and sometimes Bard. But it's really hard to carry low elo as a support, even if you get your AD carry fed. So I've been transitioning into the mid lane, playing a lot more Ahri, Fizz, and Zed, and it seems to be working better. Blitz has got to be one of the best champs if you're good on him, but it's hard to carry the game later on. Any advice, or give up on support and just go to mid and top? Off to work, if you can answer this on the pod, that would be dope.
Yeah, he posted it in our general chat, and then I told him that I guarantee would not remember to put this on the show. So
nice.
Glad that he sent in an email. I think Blitzcrank is always like a decent champion. I think he scales inversely with how high of a rank you are. If you're good at Blitzcrank, it becomes harder to be a good Blitzcrank the higher you get in rank. But, I mean, he's getting LCS play. He's definitely serviceable.
Yeah, he's always going to be playable because the fact is, like, that big of a displacement, like, you can just win a game off of it. Like,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah, you hit one good hook late game and the game's done. Like, it's over. Period.
Yeah, a buddy that I knew when I was, like, grinding to master tier with Trevor that one year, we met this one guy who was like a Blitzcrank fan. His new account name, by the way, is Blitz. He's super toxic, so he gets banned all the time, but his new account name is just Blitz.
Ooh.
And he is currently challenger 615 points, playing only Blitzcrank. So character's pretty good, man.
What's his win rate?
56% on Blitz over 360
Damn,
games.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's the thing, is like, with a sample size that high,
it's really, really good. Like, characters, like, he does scale with, like, how good you are, and, like, then he scales with ELO and the fact that people get better about dodging stuff, but, like, you have to just learn how to adapt in every, like, game.
Yeah. And there are certain counters to Blitzcrank that exist, Ezreal, Tristana being the two that come to mind, I guess, right away. And that comes with rank as well, so... Like that, the ability to perform those actions and serve as a counter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, cool. Thank you, Blitzcrank. Next email is from Smlog, who says, "Hi guys, I'm a returning player to League and getting back into ranked after eating an ELO freefall as a OTP Karma support from Silver through to Bronze 1. That's I don't know if that's an ELO freefall, but I understand what you mean. I decided to take your advice from the Climb podcast and went mid/jungle primary, playing full-blown Cancer Dark Harvest Galio. I've seen my win rate jump from 45 to 80% over the past 30 games. In addition to the points your team raised, I had two insights that jump-started my climb. One, simple plays and simple champions are better for your team. I struggled with Karma because people literally didn't know her kit or tempo. Higher skill plays like zoning, roaming, and deep warding typically tilted or confused my AD carry rather than helped. Most players are in this elo can't tell the difference between an otter pop and a scented marker, so you can't expect them to recognize good subtle plays." I don't know if I could tell the difference between those two things, though. Number two, everyone at this elo plays reactively. If you're the team making plays, even suboptimal plays, you have a much higher chance to win because opponents simply don't know how to close games or punish mistakes. This is why bruiser engaged types like Windermere, Hecarim, Garen, and Set are so effective at this tier. You make the play, and even if you die, their team has no response because they've panic blown all their ults on you. Thanks for all your help and looking forward to more content. Smlog. Great name. It's very difficult to say.
I would totally agree that simple champs are going to be better in low elo, and just in general, like, as people who've played the game a long time, we still don't know everything about every character, and like, when you're trying to get somebody to interact with your champion that you understand in the appropriate way, and they don't get it, it's the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yeah,
like if with Mordekaiser playing with that when he had the W heal, like, Trevor must have gone through so much hell just trying to get people to like, just take the health. I'm trying to give you a 600 heal. Just take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree. I also think your point about playing engaged champions is very good. I think that holds true even as you get higher ranked. Being able to instantly decide, like, okay, this is when we're fighting, and this is the champion that we're going to try to pick, like, is super good. And why I think a champion like Maokai is so good to try to climb with. Because you instantly pick someone and that's that. Like, you're fighting and that person's probably dead. You probably die as well, and then it's just a 4v4. So, I don't know. Making plays like that, I think, is super good. But cool. Thank you for the email, Smlog, and good luck in your climb.
Next email is from Zach. First off, yes, it's an AOL account. Second, yes, someone did have Mr. Zach Attack and Mr. Zach Attack 1. Third, my league name is Big Judy Booty. And just saying that name will give me bragging rights with all of my Iron 4 buddies who I'm going to show this podcast to if my suggestion is included.
Oh, if anyway. On the caveat. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So we're just going to skip the rest of the email.
Yeah, we're not including this anymore. Aiden's going to fucking edit this out, too.
Yeah, we don't do free marketing for your friends. It's going to cost you. Anyways, just listen to last week's podcast where you talked about an email sent in where one person could play as all of the jungle camps, and it reminded me of an idea my buddy had a few years ago. What if during Worlds they offered a fan experience where you get to play as Scuttle? You obviously can't attack anything, but you can run away from the junglers if they try and attack you, and maybe the little dash can be your Q ability. Obviously not a chance it happens, but I would pay big money to be able to sit next to Smithy and giggle while he tries to attack me. Anyway, have a good week and looking forward to the podcast. P.S. Weeping Pandas is who came up with the idea. For the love of all that is good, please don't mention my name without saying his, or else he'll tilt more than Tyler 1. This is from Zach again.
I think that'd be dope in a fun
game mode, like All-Stars or something,
I guess. Yeah, All-Stars for sure. Definitely not Worlds.
That would be so funny in like All-Stars. Just like, all right, guys, Faker's playing Scuttle this game and he's just dodging everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. I personally wouldn't pay any money for it, but...
It would be hilarious, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Zach. Next email's from Josh. I just wanted to say, I can't believe no one even acknowledged when Colton said you'd fuck Maokai because he would insapulate all over you. Underrated joke, 10 out of 10. But I would have picked Orin because you could make a sex tape and become famous porn stars. So that was a good joke. That was a good joke. And I caught it.
Were you about to say we normally don't acknowledge when Colton makes a joke?
So you can't. If we acknowledge your jokes, Colton, you will make lower quality jokes. If we don't acknowledge you, you make better quality jokes. In an effort to get our attention.
No, I continue making jokes of shit quality and high quality. I throw them all at the board and hope that one of them sticks.
It's a shotgun method.
Yeah. I'll tell 100 bad jokes if it means I get one good one.
No, it was good. I liked it. Also, yeah, that's a good one. I feel like Orin just be too boring, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. He's a big, burly dude. There are people that would want to watch that, Nick.
That's true. Cool. Thank you, Joshua. Next,
thanks for the email. Next email is from Kimosaki. Let me start off by saying that I heard and answered your call to join the Joshua Army of Leaguecast. If we do this right, one day the whole list will just be Joshua. Nick, I wholeheartedly agree that Gunfire Reborn is a great game worth checking out. It is well worth $12. I'm currently level 53 and the game is a blast. Which character do you prefer? Anyways, I wanted to finally email in after listening for the past year to say thank you for all the amazing advice you guys give. You helped me climb out of bronze, and now I'm working on getting gold. I was a top main previous season, however this season I switched to support and have been doing a lot better. I'm a Leona main, and I enjoy being a beefy support, and have been getting to know her inside and out. With that being said, I'm trying to find more supports to be able to use when she gets banned, or if I find myself in an unfavorable matchup. I've been experimenting with Maokai and Taric support. What supports do you guys think are generally exceptionally strong to solo queue with? Furthermore, should I stick tankier supports I feel comfortable on, or should I incorporate more mage supports? Thank you for any advice you can give. Love the show, and Avatar is amazing. P.S. I've been binge watching One Piece on Netflix, hence Jesus. The review.
Nick, I really did think it was like you making a burner email to get us to play your stupid game until like you.
I want you guys to play it so bad.
You would compliment Avatar and then say that you're watching One Piece though.
Yeah, I was going to say
that's a good way to throw us off at the end though.
Ooh, true. Can you binge watch One Piece? Isn't there like 800 episodes?
It's over 1,000. You cannot binge watch. You cannot binge watch One Piece in a reasonable amount of time. Like if you had a month or so off of like any obligations and food was being brought to you, maybe.
Jesus. Let's see. I play the cat in Gunfire. I think the dog is too unreliable, I guess. He definitely has a higher high, but the cat is definitely a better character overall, I think. Let's see what else. I think Tarik is super good. He has the potential to hard carry a game, but it's not like a very showy or like flashy potential, I suppose. I feel like it's a lot more subtle in nature. As for that, you could probably go with a character like Thresh, who's pretty tanky. Nautilus, they're all pretty good playmakers. I think those. Leona's really good. You can keep sticking with her. She does a shit ton of damage.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of tanky engaged supports. Like you said, Nautilus, Thresh, Alistar is a really good one. Like, there are tons of engaged tank supports that are going to be just fine for you.
Mm-hmm.
And great. I would stick to, especially in gold, like, take your, like, learn that type of character, and then eventually maybe spread out when you get to a point where you're thinking, I'm not trying to climb right now, I'm trying to develop as a player. And that's where you branch out and you say, okay, I'm going to start trying to pick up mage supports or enchantress supports. Or see what happens when I play something that's more about the utility than like an engaged tank. You'll probably drop a division or two when you do that. But again, that's just kind of a price you'll have to pay that eventually you'll climb back up. And then, you know, in a game where you have a shitty Leona matchup, it's probably a shitty matchup for Alistar too. So maybe this game you play Soraka or something.
Yeah.
And you have the experience on it to do so.
Yeah, having like one good each and for every archetype will be super good.
Also, thank you for joining the Josh Army. What was... When we had a league of something. Was it David's? Are we going to become the League of Joshua's?
Maybe.
David the Tarik guy. We're going to need you to switch to Joshua the Tarik.
Jesus. Thank you, Kinosaki. Our last email is from Ashley, who says... subject, funny AFK that made me quick ranked for this season. Hey guys, after listening for a little over a year, I decided it was time to join in on the emails. I played League since the end of Season 8 in OCE, so still not the best, but I reached gold in Season 9 and just hit gold again this season. In my most recent game, I had a Kayn, jungle, and Xayah AD carry. The Xayah loaded in a little late, so she used the Blast Cone near blue buff to jump over and help with the leash for Kayn. Kayn said, pro tip, don't hit the blast cone because it just slows me down. Xayah said, LOL pro tip from gold player. Kayn says, KYS and disconnects. 1 minute, 40 seconds in the game, smiley face. I actually didn't feel super tilted because it was definitely the funniest AFK I've had out of the many in Season 10, but this one definitely made me take a look at ranked and say I'm done with this. I'll just play with friends. Thought you guys would appreciate that fun story that just about sums up Season 10 ranked solo queue. Anyways, absolutely love the show, guys. I also love the Zed Talks, so I became a Patreon to support some more. Keep it up, Ashley. Thank you, Ashley. And hey, a gentle reminder, we have a $1 tier that can grant you access to an additional like 1 hour of maybe like half an hour of content.
Only $1?
Only
There's
$1.
No way that could be that good of a value.
Or you can pledge
only
two $1. For a funny name on Discord.
Yeah,
to shit on the people who gave $1.
You get that same juicy content, and you get to call yourself better than other people by being a Tumo.
A Tumo. yeah. So, you know, that's pretty funny. I don't know what Blast Cone...
It's the one that spawns like on the other side of blue.
Okay, that's...
Bop into Blue Pit, so yeah. I think that his plan was like, I'll take it to, like, jump into Wolves or something. I don't fucking know.
That's kind of a fair point.
Yeah, but, like, the second that he's gonna gain by getting a decent leash, or the second he's going to save by taking the Blast Cone, like...
Oh, I apologize. That's a shit point. He's playing Kane. He could just queue over the wall.
Yeah.
If you were playing a character that without a gap closer, like, that makes a little more sense. Not enough to AFK.
Still not really, though, because, like, he needs to go all the way around to get to it to then blast into Wolf Pit.
No. I think he's coming from... Wait.
Yeah, I think they leash
Yeah, okay,
Blue,
so
yeah.
I was thinking,
he was, like, upset that...
Yeah.
It makes no sense, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's trash. If he were, like, leashing... Or if you were doing red first... And then she took the one from Blue, and she's on the other side of the map. Then, like, I think that would be a little shitty.
It definitely, depending on his path, could have taken some time away from his clear. But, like...
Nothing substantial,
and they're still giving you time back by leashing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Damn. Yeah. Thank you, Ashley. That'll do it for the end of this episode. Follow us on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Mail at LeagueCastPodcast.com is where you can send us emails. You can find our Discord information on our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord is where you can get our Discord link. There's a widget on the homepage, or you can send us an email and I'll get you a link as soon as I can. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardot are where we stream. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Become a Tumo. Listen to our us talk about how we would fix League and make it the perfect game.
Be named Josh. Get in here.
Yeah, if your name's Josh, you are legally obligated to give us at least $1 a month.
Yeah, it's just $1. It's fine.
Yeah, but thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.